WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Hey, you wanna have some fun?
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
And you expect me to believe you?
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday night.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Excuse me, what's that?
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Go ahead and have a seat. Make yourself comfortable.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I say we throw the switch and see what happens.
Heartbreak Mike.
Nobody knows who he is.
The Omega.
I feel like I was meant for something more than this.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Things have gone wrong. I'm talking to myself.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
We call it the ego trip.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Austin Aries, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I have a single earth. I know where you live.
WTR Sunday night.
I have to hand it to you. It's the best mindfuck yet.
I made an ocean to take me away. Back to strawberry fields and a god that was real till they took my sunshine away. I'm a liar at night, I'm a fighter by day, I'm a rolling thunder on the...
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Welcome to our review of WWE No Mercy, SmackDown pay-per-view number 2.
Omega, I gotta interrupt you.
What?
No intro time, it's main event time, we gotta go.
I'm Omega, Be All, End All Network. Join me, Mike.
Yo, what's up? Main event time.
And leading, Tim Stein.
Hey, main event time. Let's go. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Or something like that.
Probably screwed up whatever Omega had planned, but... Yeah.
I had nothing planned, thank you.
You're welcome.
He had nothing.
All right. All right, Tim, you've been introduced, so introduce the whole show.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to a SmackDown pay-per-view version of WTR Sunday Night. Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, giving you our reactions to No Mercy. And the one thing I want to point out is when they started doing the French crap near the beginning with Maryse, and she actually said No Mercy, but she said No Merci, which means no thank you. I didn't say that for this pay-per-view.
Really?
I didn't say no thank you.
That's the stretch we're going with here.
Well, she said it in French. What do you want me to do? I understand French. Some of it. Before we dive into it, I just want to say congratulations to the Toronto Blue Jays sweeping the Texas Rangers and advancing to the American League Championship Series. Second year in a row.
Hey, baseball.
Sports ball. You bet.
Of course, I'm watching how the Cubs are doing right now, so it's about the only sport I can be topical in any way, shape, or form.
Here's a scoop. We were watching wrestling last night, and Omega was watching sports ball, which is a change.
Only because I can't watch wrestling because I don't have the network you guys have.
Yeah. So anyway.
There was wrestling last night?
They air the replay of Raw and SmackDown every Saturday night on Universal HD.
Oh, I see.
So as background fodder, we all usually watch it, except for Omega, because he don't have the channel.
He couldn't do it.
Nope.
It was not doable.
So anyway, there was a pay-per-view tonight.
There was a pay-per-view tonight, and I don't know about you, but overall, from what I was able to watch, it was a good pay-per-view.
You know what makes these shows so great? They don't go 3+ hours.
Yeah.
They come, they show up, they arrive, they do their thing, and they go.
It's a nice gentle watch.
It's not a struggle, which is so great. Like, there was nothing really bad about this show. Something to complain about in the pre-show, but that's the pre-show. There's nothing bad about this show.
You don't need an hour-long pre-show for a SmackDown pay-per-view.
You're allowed to do it. It's network time. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, well, you know, it's on the network. It's fine. It's dandy, but still, it's just...
Realistically, the pre-show starts at 7:30 when they start doing the matches. That's technically when it really starts, or people should actually care when it starts.
So there was this pre-show thing happened, and I assume that we saw a little bit of Curt Hawkins hawking himself.
Can he hawk himself off?
He hawked himself. Okay, you said it wrong. Yeah, and
what premium subscription to the network do you have?
The new top tier $14.99 plan they're coming out with. Anyway,
as the adult only section with all the old pillow fight and bra and panty matches.
It says exclusive VIP stuff, so you know.
Backed by Bob Guccione.
No, like, this whole Curt Hawkins thing. Did you see this, Omega?
No.
You didn't miss anything. It was pointless.
Just because Curt Hawkins is pointless.
He is very, very pointless. He came out, his intro is him reading off facts about himself, like he does in his videos.
God.
And, you know, we all thought he was making his in-ring debut. Well, he did make his in-ring debut by actually just stepping foot in a ring. And then they shot off pyro afterwards.
After he steps in the ring, they shoot off his pyro.
Like the celebratory pyro.
Curt Hawkins is not that good.
And then announces he will have his first match on SmackDown this Tuesday.
Well, you know, technically it's not going to be his first match.
Yeah, you have to remember, Tim. You have to remember, Tim. There's no rosters right now. So even the vaguely good have to be marketed as really good. I mean, Raw right now is trying to take Titus O'Neil seriously.
He's holding him. He's holding press conferences in front of one person. It's a thing. Curt Hawkins is pointless. It got Mike a point, but it's still pointless.
Mike got a point out of Curt?
Yeah.
Hawkins.
He did.
Well, so by the time that Curt Hawkins actually did something productive.
I wouldn't call what he did tonight productive.
It got Mike a point. That's, you know, producing.
Well, he's been getting him points every week for his little promo thingies, but yeah. Anyway, what actually came out of this pre-show was the announcement that Becky Lynch could not compete tonight due to an out-of-the-ring medical issue.
Now, what is the story with Becky Lynch? What's going on? Do you have any word or what?
Originally, I heard it was a neck injury, but then I read it was not a neck injury. It's something that just is preventing her from taking bumps.
It's a girl injury.
It's a girly injury, yes.
It's a girl injury.
Yeah, sure.
Why not? Go with that one, because, like, nobody knows.
No, it really could be something with that area that sort of burst or something. You never know.
With that area, okay.
A cyst of some sort in that general area down below.
You're really digging, aren't you, right now?
No, I'm serious. That could be what
happened.
You're
digging all the way around the topic is what you're digging, what you're doing.
Don't feel like digging down into that topic. So I'm just going to generalize what it was or what it could be. We don't know. But that's a theory. I'm trying to back you up, Tim.
I see. I don't know. I get the funny feeling you're failing miserably.
I probably am. Don't really care. Anyway, Alexa wanted to be champion, but they're not giving her the title. They're just announcing that she will fight in Glasgow, Scotland for the title on November 8th on SmackDown Not So Live.
She's short. She's very short. She's 5 foot freak all.
She's 5 feet of fury, as they've termed her.
Who's her dad again?
I don't know.
Apparently he was a WWE star in the late 80s, early 90s.
Mr. Bliss.
Mr. Bliss. I don't remember a Mr. Bliss.
Okay. Omega might get this one. So was Mr. Bliss married to Mrs. Bliss from Saved by the Bell?
Fucking dork.
It's painful that you first off know that, and secondly, you know enough to call him a dork for him knowing it too.
Anyway.
The only thing that could good to come out of Saved by the Bell is Tiffany Amber Thiessen, and that's all there is to it.
It got me curious. I'm checking out her profile. There is nothing about her father.
Wasn't it Carmella who had the father who was a wrestler? I think that might have been it. I think Carmella was the daughter of a jobber back in the day.
Barry Horowitz.
Let me find Carmella.
Carmella Horowitz.
Because I remember them saying something about it.
I don't know.
This is where we're doing live research on the air, here on Wrestle Talk Radio.
There you go. So the pre-show actually encompassed an actual match.
Yeah, it did. It was your typical eight-person tag.
Typical eight-person tag.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not a fatal four-way or fatal eight-way, whatever you want to call it for tag teams, but it was like two teams of four beating each other up.
All right, Mike.
Okay. Mike got it at the same time.
Yeah, apparently her father was Paul Van Dale.
Still doesn't ring a bell, Mike. Why don't you fill us in?
Paul Van Dale, this is how you know it's bad that he's a jobber. All it says is a former professional wrestler who worked as a jobber for WWE in the 1990s. And that's all it says.
So do we have to do the thumb points when we say Paul Van Dale?
No.
PVD.
PVD?
That just sounds like something you pick up on the wrong side of town.
It sounds like a bad drug.
So, looking again, Alexa Bliss's real last name is actually Kaufman, which means if she was second generation, it would be awesome.
Yes, it would. Sadly, it's not.
It's not.
Aww.
Anyway, the Hype Bros and Mark and Alpha won. Anyone see the match?
Nope.
I saw bits and pieces. And, of course, the infamous reference from Mauro Ranallo to the dungeon. And he even said, Calgary Dramatic Pause, Alberta, Canada.
Yay.
Good old Mauro.
Everyone, sign up for the Hart family's petition to get them into the Hall of Fame, because that's a thing.
That's a real, actual, genuine thing. You showed me the link. When was that? Yesterday?
Yeah.
God.
Like, come on, Brett. Come on. Can we not? Can you not beg to get back in there a second time, because you want to be as good as Ric Flair? Sorry.
What makes you think it's Brett?
Because the interview had said that he started it.
Brett started the petition.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I didn't pay any attention to any kind of interview.
Yeah, that's where I found it. Like, stop.
My goodness.
Anyway, move on, Tim.
Standard 8-man tag. Didn't see very much of it, but I did see the winners were the Hype Brothers and American Alpha. Would that not put American Alpha a little bit closer to the title picture?
You would think, and it would we figure where direction they would go, but they're going in a different direction, it seems. We'll get to that later.
Interesting. So that was the pre-show, and then the main show kicked off. What the hell are they doing holding the main event at the very as the curtain jerker?
It's called There's a Debate, and they were desperate to get people to pay attention.
And we all know that Donald Trump, according to the latest videotape released earlier this week, he's a master debater.
When it's other people unwillfully, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's our political commentary. Let's move on.
Can I add a little bit more political commentary to this?
This will be fun as an outsider. Go for it.
As an outsider, that's where I'm trying to see if I can find.
Wait. Who are you calling an outsider?
Tim.
Talking me. American.
Tim.
I'm calling myself the outsider. Who'd you think I was talking about? Rock.
Anyway, here's the commentary.
He's a B-sider.
So blatantly stupid. He's a punk. He's a dog. He's a pig, he's a con, a bullshit artist, a mutt who doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't do his homework, doesn't care, thinks he's gaming society, doesn't pay his taxes. He's an idiot, Colin Powell said it best. He's a national disaster. He's an embarrassment to this country. It makes me so angry that this country has gotten to this point, that this fool, this bozo, has wound up where he has. He talks how he wants to punch people in the face. Well, I'd like to punch him in the face. This is somebody that we want for president? I don't think so. What I care about is the direction of this country. And what I'm very, very worried about is that it might go in the wrong direction with someone like Donald Trump. If you care about your future, vote for it.
There's your political commentary.
Who the hell was that?
Robert De Niro.
Wow.
Yeah.
Get out.
That was De Niro. That was a roast of Donald Trump.
That wasn't a roast. that was burning him at the stake.
That was a massacre, yeah.
Oh, my.
Anyway.
Don't hold back. Tell us what you really think.
No kidding. Now off to the politics and back to the things that really matter, the WWE Championship.
Yeah, and I want to bring this up because you mentioned this to me, and it hit me like a ton of bricks when you said it would be a genius fucking book. If they did this, Rock, fill us in.
Okay, so right before the match started, I'm looking at the thing and how they're doing the show. It's like, okay, what's the main event going to be? And we didn't know what the main event was going to be. So they start this with the title match of three ways. Like, okay, we want to do the whole storyline about John Cena getting 16th win. So what do? Let's give it to him early in the show. Cena wins, he gets a title shot, but AJ's the face that runs this place. He wants his rematch tonight.
So main event.
In the main event, you have AJ then beat Cena. You get the belt back off of Cena. He gets the 16th, and you continue on. It would have given you an awesome main event and an awesome open. They didn't do that, though.
They came close to making me think that they might have something like that up their sleeve, though.
Oh, yeah. It made you think a little bit, didn't it?
My fantasy points would have gone into meltdown.
Oh, that just, like, totally ruined a lot of people. Cena and Ambrose both get the pinfall victory at the exact same time. Kyoto restarts the match. Excuse me, something's wrong here. AJ tapped out. He's no longer the champion. Why is he still in the match? The title should be given to the winner between Ambrose and Cena. AJ tapped out. He's done.
But the referee never acknowledged the tap. That's the thing. It was the ring timekeeper who rang the bell. It was not the referee who called for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the confusion occurred. So if they didn't, so since the referee didn't actually call for it, he can't count it. That's why AJ still had the belt.
Well, Tuesday Night SmackDown Live, this is going to be addressed by both Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon. And this is not me guessing or speculating. I watched a little bit of Smack Talk after their post-show. They were both on talking to Renee Young. And Daniel said that they got to do something about this because it was a double it was a double submission victory. But you can't have two guys holding the title. So.
And the show's called Talking Smack.
Yeah, that's it. What did I call it? Smack Talk?
Smack Talk.
I like that, too. That works. Smack Talk. Anyway, okay, it was on Talking Smack. So we're going to probably get another triple threat match out of these guys.
I don't know if we should, though.
Mm-mm. No, you overplayed at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, yeah. I don't think either guy should get another title shot, either. I think at this point, they've had enough.
This should be it, honestly.
Now, you say that the timekeeper went and rang the bell. I guess you could call it prematurely because Kyoto never did call for the bell. That happened one other time. Who remembers?
Taker Brock.
SummerSlam.
Taker Brock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
You remember now, Mike? You're like, oh, I forgot about it.
No, I did forget about it. Yeah, someone needs to be fired.
Well, they did. They did fire the old timekeeper. This is a new person. Mark Eaton used to be the timekeeper, and I think since he's been fired, I don't know how long, but there's a new person there. But, yeah, I don't know, Omega. What do you think of the match, and you know, should they get other title shots, these two?
It's hard to say, because their matches I've already seen.
Because, realistically, AJ beat Dean on SmackDown in his, you know, guaranteed rematch.
Yeah.
Cena hasn't won to get a title shot. Using this logic thing. Neither guy has won.
Yeah, but you're using actual logic. In WWE logic, since AJ tapped out to both of them, both would be entitled to a rematch. That's WWE logic.
So, in the next 6 weeks on SmackDown, each guy will get a title shot?
That, or there'll be a match between Cena and Dean to decide a number one contender?
Which would be better? You've got two matches, potentially two pay-per-views worth of title shots already lined up, or do you have the contendership match?
Well, you got 6 weeks of TV to fill I think it's 6 weeks because they're not on pay-per-view again until Survivor Series because Raw has the one at the end of the month. They're probably going to try to burn it on SmackDown, I would assume, because I don't know if you can drag this out 6 weeks with both of them trying to chase AJ Styles. You have to do a title match because 6 more weeks of them just ripping into each other in promos is probably going to get old and tiring because it started to this week on SmackDown because it's sort of they hit their peak in just ripping the crap out of each other in promos.
I don't know. With all those promos that they can cut on each other, we'll see.
It's going to start getting repetitive, you know. They can always rip on each other, but at some point you're going to run out of content.
WWE logic. Oops. WWE booking, literally, honestly.
WWE booking is less mutually exclusive than WWE and the word logic in the same sentence half the time.
That being said, this match had a lot of great near falls, Omega.
It did.
Like, I think I made the comment to Tim, it was like, they were countering each hold so perfectly in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Which made it great.
Yeah, a lot of counters between each other, a lot of sequences between the three where they're just trading blows triangularly, if that makes any sense.
There was one point where they were all trading sleepers.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we got Cena's display of strength a couple of times.
Oh, of course. That's what Cena does.
And then AJ was just being AJ.
That's all AJ has to do.
Pretty much.
Oh, good. You're going to lift up two guys at the same time. Here, lie down while I do a full flip and a half splash on you.
That's always so sweet to watch when he does that 450.
Mm-hmm.
That's sweet. Because it just aired on the replay. So sweet. But yeah, I thought this was a really great opener for a pay-per-view.
This might be the best opener a pay-per-view ever had.
Well, it'll rank right up there. Definitely.
Maybe in the top five openers of all time.
It was a really good match. I wasn't sure what I was expecting, but I didn't think that I expected it to be quite as good as it was. Call it a case of lowered expectations. I don't know. But, no, the match was really good. It entertained me more than I expected it to.
What do you think, Mike?
Good sequences. Well, I think my favorite sequence would probably have to be, Cena doing the helicopter, spinal tap, and clothesline. I actually like that. And then just so
spiral
much.
Spiral tap? Wait.
Wait, wrong one. Whoops.
Wait, Pele,
thank you.
Yeah, so that was a sequence I liked.
Yeah, get TNA out. Yeah, delete.
They're going to be doing a lot of deletion. Oh, man.
Final deletion, part 17.
Oh, God.
No, it's actually called, spoiler, everyone, total nonstop deletion.
But also just AJ Styles just doing his thing. It's like, hey, guess what? Yeah, I can springboard into an elbow outside the ring. Suck it, bitches. It was just the fact that AJ Styles actually was like, yeah, I can finally show you what it means to defend a championship. And the way that he did it, triple threat style, it was good. And then, you know, he had to be a heel and was like, oh, yay, chair, flat.
No DQ.
I know. So, technically, he didn't cheat. Everything was legal. So.
Technically. I think that's kind of the word of the night.
Technically.
Technically.
And then I think every IWC's dream, he beat John Cena again.
He did beat John Cena again as AJ Styles retains the title. So was this just a big old giant rib on AJ Styles? Yeah, you're my WWE champion, but you're going to be my opener. Cause, you know.
No.
You get to be the champion. You don't get the main event.
Yeah, no, he did not get the CM Punk treatment.
But you know, people out there thought it.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly where you were going with that statement, Rock.
If that was the case, he'd have to fight Brock. Oh God, WWE, don't do it.
AJ versus Brock would probably be very entertaining.
I understand that, but so was Punk and Brock, but we all know where that went.
It's how far can AJ Styles fly?
That suplex, he'll fly very far.
Farthest suplex thrown ever. Anyway, great opener. Good way to kick off the show.
It was.
What's next, Tim?
Up next, it's Nikki Bella versus Carmella. Carmella versus Nikki Bella.
This one was alright.
It was, you know, a decent match. Now that it's no longer the Divas division and they're not working towards a butterfly title and they're trying to make the women's division legit, it almost forces the WWE fan to watch Nikki Bella's matches in a bit of a new light. Especially if one has never been a big Nikki Bella fan before. It was a decent match. It was watchable.
I will say this, and I every time I watch Nikki wrestle, for someone who has a neck injury, she needs to stop taking spots where she's thrown into things that could re-injure her neck. Like going into the LED board. Probably not the smartest idea.
Well, it's not the smartest idea for her first feud back on the roster after a career-threatening neck injury to be about Carmella hating her head.
Well, she's making sure it works because
that's why Carmella lost tonight, because she didn't have enough things to slam Nikki's head into.
Sad but true.
But I'd like that they've turned Carmella heel. She's actually owning being heel.
It's nice that she's not just Enzo and Cass female on the SmackDown roster.
No, she's her own person now.
Yeah, like, I think she came out to do her, all the lines that she used to do in NXT. one time she only got halfway through and hasn't heard it since. I need the music to be better, and I need some of the pre-match moonwalking to go away. But beyond that, yeah, it's good of her to see her embracing the heel role.
Yeah, so Nikki Bella won with the Rack Attack 2.0.
Cause is there another name that could come up for that?
TKO.
I'm just saying.
So again, the Rack Attack 2.0.
My goodness. And the winner, Nikki Bella, after getting the shit kicked out of her for several weeks on end via sneak attack.
She got her revenge on Carmella. By the way, if you haven't heard, you can go listen to the Bella Twins on the Rack right now at Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com.
Cheap plug, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of Sir Rockin'.
Just saying.
Son of a bitch.
It was a thing. It was a thing. It's also available at YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show.
Lucky son of a bitch.
Mike's jealous you talked to the Bella girls.
They didn't get the big bombshell.
No, we did not get that big bombshell, no. Sadly.
Okay, I have to ask, what's the big bombshell?
Bree's pregnant.
You didn't get her to admit it?
No, she waited till her the premiere of the show to announce it.
God damn it, hey? How else are you going to get, like, you know, people tune into Total Bellas?
They timed that perfectly.
There you go. And so after this match, we had a little bit of a backstage with the Miz with Brian and Shane. It's all Daniel Bryan's fault for what winds up happening tonight. You know that, right? According to the Miz?
Of course. It's his fault. Can put it on his head.
And isn't it a little bit too far in the past to actually bring up Rocky IV references, Miz?
Wait.
Are we really going there?
Wait.
Are we?
Go ahead.
God, we had JBL tonight pissed off because someone was making, what was his term for it? God.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was like during the Alexa Bliss match, he was pissed off because they were making Harley Quinn references.
Mm-hmm.
He's going like, no one cares about your obscure references.
Show the world-class athlete! Yeah.
This is the same night where he referenced Stan Hansen, who most people in that arena that night weren't alive when he was wrestling.
Yes, they did this not is know the truth. What he did. Lariat toe, motherfuckers.
Sorry, I'm sick of JBL. Can you hear it?
Yeah. Harley Quinn is an obscure reference, ladies and gentlemen.
He didn't use the word obscure. I'm using that because I can't remember the word he used.
Well, it was. I know what you're talking about. It might as well have been obscure. The word that he used, I can't remember what it is, but it's such an obscure word. It's archaic.
God, it's going to bug me. I have to watch the Alexa Bliss match now just to hear the fucking word he said.
So stay tuned, everyone. We won't go off of there until Omega hears.
It will probably come up.
Well, just watch the replay. It should be up in a few minutes.
I'm watching.
She's towards the end, so maybe not.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We might be done before then.
So anyway, moving on.
So yeah, basically, just before we get to the tag title match, they're going to be a contract renegotiation coming up, one way or the other. It doesn't matter who wins between the Miz and Dolph Ziggler. Right?
No, it was only if Miz won. He wanted to redo his contract because he wanted Ziggler's money.
Esoteric. That was the word. Esoteric.
Well done, Omega. You feel better?
Well done, Omega.
Can you use that in a sentence?
No.
Country of origin?
What? And don't ask me to spell it either.
Okay, anyway.
Feel better now, continue.
Tim, what's next?
The tag titles are on the line. Slater and Rhino defending against the Usos. And I guess if Slater is able to retain the title, he gets to keep the double wide and get an above ground pull or something like that?
I guess he keeps it anyway. I don't. This was the first match I was surprised at the outcome.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I really was. Because I figured they were going to do American Alpha versus Usos for the belts. Instead, Slater and Rhino keep him.
For as long as they've been, like, pulling out this Slater thing, they're not going to take the belts off of them that fast.
I got a funny feeling they're not going to lose the belt until election week for Rhino.
Oh, dear.
He's running for a council seat in Michigan.
Yes, but how good would he look up there giving a speech with a championship belt hanging off his shoulder?
That'd be impressive. But, yeah, they sure try to keep Rhino out of this match as much as possible. I'm talking about the Usos, of course, concentrating on Slater. And, of course, we got the EC dub chant a few times.
Because, you know, topical.
Because Rhino.
So esoteric.
Hey, he used it in a sentence.
Of two words, yes.
Anyway, they retained the belts. This was just a match.
Yeah, this was typical. And by now, we've seen enough matches with Slater and Rhino. We know the formula.
Yeah, but at the same time, even though the tag titles are involved, it's whenever you got Slater and Rhino doing stuff, you know, it's popcorn. Really, it is. It's popcorn.
I mean, it's entertaining, yeah. It's just formulated.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen. You know what's going to go down. You know what to expect, but you're still going to watch it.
There is genuinely part of me that's waiting for Slater to actually come through in the match rather than just wait for Rhino to gore every other human being in, around the ring.
Gore out of nowhere.
So with Slater and Rhino winning, does it mean the Ascension are the next team up?
Oh, jeez.
Because I don't think you could do American Alpha versus Rhino and Slater, right? That's face-face. Ascension, Vaudevillains, Breezango. Again, this is why I thought, you know, you put the belts on Usos, you can keep them as the comedy tag team, but that's sort of what they are. We'll say I did like the new Tron they have for Slater.
Yeah, I got kids, I need this job.
And then there's little pictures of kids in the, on the screen.
It's like silhouettes of a whole crowd of kids.
Yeah, I thought that was good. That was the positive of this.
Yeah, the question is, like, whose kids are they, really?
Oh, and Omega. Because we have discussions about this. I found the Titantrons. They actually showed them up at the top screen above the ring.
Oh, because we see them so often.
Because we see them so often. But when they panned for Dean Ambrose's entrance, I saw his Titantron at the very top. I was like, oh, there they are. Anyway.
Also, the replay is just now at Carmella and Nikki, and literally the whole hype package beforehand is Carmella slamming Nikki's head into shit.
Yep.
Just had neck surgery.
Yep.
You know, WWE doesn't care.
There you go. Of course, after the tag match, we get a creepy video. It's Bray speaking Latin and singing he's got the whole world in his hands.
Yep.
I can't even remember how that thing goes.
What? He's got the whole world in his hands?
Yeah.
Okay. It's good, Tim.
Yeah, I can't. It's just, I don't know.
He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
Now
you got it.
Ready on cue for Lindsay.
I got it, friend. I'll have it stuck in my head for the next 5 minutes, and I'll forget it again.
Well, okay.
So while we let it slip out of our mind, when we talk about Baron Corbin versus SmackDown's newest acquisition, free agent signing, Jack Swagger.
Hey.
Two wrestlers I have absolutely no interest in.
I will say this. The finish they did on SmackDown was creative.
Where he tried to go for the rope, but all the refs saw was him banging the canvas like a tap out.
Yes.
Kind of impressive. Yeah, it was different. That's not something that, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
They've done it once or twice before, but, you know, they spread that finish out a lot. So.
I mean, well, they've done bogus submissions previously, but like I said, in that particular, form or fashion.
You could tell how great this matchup was, so we were pointing out something from SmackDown.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. This was a dark match. Mm. They just happened to happened to lose a match or two on the card, so hey, congratulations, Swagger, you got a pay-per-view payday.
You went from pre-show to main show.
This could have, would have, should have gone to pre-show and swapped out for the 8-man tag match.
This was on the pre-show, and they bumped this up to the main show.
Which is silliness.
Which means we're getting a second match, or not, maybe a third between these two, because he raked the eyes for the finish.
Mm-hmm.
This match, this series will continue.
Yay, another match.
Got almost, almost every match in this pay-per-view had some kind of interference or outside object finish.
Man.
Sort of.
Like, it's It's like heels are supposed to cheat or something.
That's a novel concept.
Hey, you know what? They should start booking shit that way. Just to make the heels more hated.
Good good guys? Bad guys? What?
There you go. So we're guaranteed a rubber match on this one, and that being the case, it's the best of three. The series is now tied at one apiece.
Please don't go seven.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
And then don't become tag partners.
Yeah, not with this team. Don't do that. Shouldn't have done that with Cesaro anyway. Yeah.
Let's go to break, Tim.
You know what? Before we talk about the career versus title match, and we're going to spend a couple of minutes talking about this one, we're going to take our first, last, and only break of the evening. Everybody listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, reviewing No Merci. We'll be back right after this.
No animals were harmed in the documentation of this invasion? Oh my Jesus. What? No.
He didn't tell me animals were involved. Why are animals involved?
The Great War is upon us.
This is how every zombie movie begins.
WTR Riffs presents Delete or Decay.
Like, seriously, if three juggalos rocked up to my house and eyed my kid, I would not resort to a Roman candle.
It's Skarsgård!
God. Dilapidated boat! Dilapidated boat!
He killed Joseph Park, you bastard!
Available now at wildtalkradio.com.
No animals were physically harmed. Emotionally, though, they're forever scarred.
They've been scarred for life.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins,
this is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moment.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo, please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Which one of these candidates would you vote for in the CB Radio party election?
When the chat room failed for me a few weeks ago, that broke my heart, because I was unable to get that one-on-one feel that I give to each and every single one of you. And that's why I'm running, because you need somebody who'll be there for you.
The people don't know what's good for them. We'll tell you what's good for you guys. That's why you want to vote for me. You vote for me, and I'll do the thinking for you. You want me, I'll put a wall around everything. It'll be a green wall made of marijuana, all right? And then everybody can meet at the wall, and we'll smoke it. So go, remember, go green.
Vote for me, and I'll get us a huge fucking island and 4-day weekends, 30-hour work week, overtime, double time.
And what I can promise the people is we're going to do the same goddamn thing that I do every time I call when I do, and that's to keep the entertainment going. So fuck all you guys.
The debate continues on Saturday nights, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Rack Extra gets a little Bella. In the form of Total Bellas.
It's not about you.
Technically, it's all about me.
Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
My husband doesn't know what a quickie is.
Ew.
Listen to how sensitive he is. My husband can't have, like, 2 minutes to 5 minutes of sex because he needs to start out with making out,
yeah,
and touching.
Whatever,
that's
fine.
Like,
no, that's not
all
fine.
All the time. That's all the time. What? Which I love, but sometimes I'm like, no, a quickie, like, come on.
Why don't you just say, hey, dude. Penis.
No, kill me. I'll just be like, well, I can give, I guess for guys you call it a hand job.
Yeah, so what up?
No, I do. I have them do it all the time.
Yeah, so great. Sex. That's fantastic.
Check out the Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
My mother is getting more than me.
It doesn't take them an hour to get off, I will tell you that.
People power!
Came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your...
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
I'm here to show the world. I'm here to show the world.
And welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, breaking down, well, basically reviewing SmackDown's pay-per-view offering of the evening, No Mercy. And we are now at the point where it's career versus title. That's right, The Miz defending yet once again against Dolph Ziggler. Dolph with his title on the, career on the line.
Surprised you didn't do the French accent since this, you know, this the one match that involved Maurice.
It's the one match that involves Maurice.
You had to do it. You had to get him started.
Yeah, I did.
Blame Rock. Hashtag Blame Rock.
No, that's not what Blame Rock is.
What is Blame Rock?
When someone gets fired.
Oh, okay. Well.
So everyone remember, hashtag Blame Tim when someone's cheap.
Yeah, fuck off.
So every week on Pop TV.
Thursdays. Anyway. Keep going, Tim.
God, this match exceeded my expectations. It definitely match of the night as far as I'm concerned.
I think Miz has been the MVP of SmackDown since the draft.
Very, very, very entertaining. A lot of
it's scary, but I can't disagree with Rock.
He's morphed into everything we thought he could be, you know?
I want to say the Miz we knew was there but never came out.
When does he enter contention for the main event?
Well, we don't have a face with the belt right now.
That's the difficult situation we're in.
Yep.
Which is why he's going
to be there soon.
He should be soon. But the problem is, and this is going, you know, ahead of ourselves, but the problem is, since you know, he's at this level, there's not many faces above the level for him to go after.
Yeah, both of them are currently busy with AJ.
And the other one's dealing with a Wyatt.
And if you have, well, here's the scary thing, is the way they kind of book things out, I don't think any of the matches we have are done.
Oh, no.
I get a really bad feeling that a lot of this is going to carry over because we didn't get Becky and Alexa. And now it looks like we might be adding Naomi to that mix via a win tonight. We got a weird finish with the triple threat. Mm-hmm. You know, we got Miz is going to whine like a bitch for another title shot.
Oh, yeah. The rematch is going to happen. Definitely.
Which you think that probably was the best of seven, which if it was, Miz has already won.
Probably. Yeah.
Just a lot of screwy endings that are going to mean that pretty much all the matches we've seen are not done, which means it doesn't matter for now whether or not there's a heel or face as a champion or who's going to face who, because everyone's just going to face everyone again.
And that's a real struggle. Because after watching this felt like the blow off. This should be it between the two.
It did.
Like, if I'm Dolph Ziggler, I wouldn't give Miz another title shot.
Well, here it is. It should be the blow off, but what are they going to do with Miz?
Which is why I was trying to campaign for the Miz to keep the belt, and well, sadly he did not. That's the thing. Miz is so on such a roll. A loss like this could hurt that roll he's on. Because I pose this question to people. It's like, where, now that Dolph Ziggler has the Intercontinental title, what do you do with him? Like, we've seen him as Intercontinental champion. It just plateaus him in the mid-card. Like, who on that roster can he have blow-away matches with for that belt?
Well, who is logically the next contender, right?
Unfortunately, it's Corbin.
Yeah.
And we saw that series. That series wasn't any good.
Which all leads to everybody hoping that doesn't actually happen.
No, since he still has, again, like I'm going to point out, we're going to have rematches, and Swagger and Corbin will probably go one more time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know, it's great, Ziggler won, fantastic, Omega is happy his team did not lose a member tonight.
Oh my god, I was having heart attacks. Like, with the hairspray to the eye and the fucking spirit squad.
The skull crushing finale where he got his foot on the rope.
I confess that I did not get a chance to see SmackDown Live on Tuesday. I did see snippets of the members of the spirit squad actually showed up.
They did. Kenny and Mikey showed up.
That made, you know, it made me wonder why Dolph was like super kicking them tonight.
Yeah. Oh, so would you need to go back and find SmackDown or on WWE's YouTube channel? You have to find the Dolphumentary.
Okay.
And watch it.
Dolphumentary.
The Dolphumentary. They play all the bad moments of Dolph Ziggler's career.
Oh, God.
Including the Spirit Squad, including him being the caddy, and everyone's favorite. Hi, I'm Dolph Ziggler. They did it in the style of a WWE 24 documentary. It's fantastic. Anyone who hasn't seen it, go out and find it on WWE's YouTube channel. It's awesome.
So it's not a network exclusive. You can actually see it on YouTube.
Yeah, because it's like 5 minutes.
Oh.
Not even that long, but
it's still 5 minutes of your life you'll never get back.
No, because you want to watch it over and over again because that's how awesome it was.
Okay.
It's great. No, seriously, it was great. I know showing all guys' horrible moments doesn't sound good, but yeah, this was entertaining. Ranks right up there with Brandon Walker's 3-disc set. Just saying.
Oh, God.
Just saying. So no, I like how they used the Spirit Squad on Tuesday and then tied them into the match tonight. He had Miz pull off the boot of Dolph Ziggler. He hit the actual super kick with his foot. With his socked foot, yeah. I thought it was slow early, but it really picked up all the false finishes. The final 5-7 minutes was really good.
It was just overall a really good match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
What was refreshing is just how much the crowd was getting into it, which as often as these guys have had matches and as many times as Ziggler's come up short, I would not have anticipated.
Right, and it was a slow build. They weren't in it early, but they got them. They hooked them into the match, which is what you want.
There was a lot of the right underdog tones hit in this match that made people love Ziggler in the first place. Like the same energy that made him the sole survivor that defeated the Authority. Like that same kind of thing was going on where, okay, Miz is cheating, can't get the pin. Maurice sprays him in the eyes, can't get the pin. Spirit Squad interferes, can't get the pin.
They did enough bells and whistles to make him the underdog, which was good. And all those false finishes played up to all the previous matches. The spray, Maurice, everything like that. It all tied in, which is why it felt like it should be the blow-off, just based on that.
Yeah.
But, so now...
And that's going to be what the rematch is, though. Is that it's going to be Ziggler versus Miz for the title. And if anyone interferes, you lose the match, you get no more rematches.
Which is why they'll probably find a cage and they're going to do a cage match. I think that's where, I guess that's the only thing if you guys, they
that
can
seems
do.
Like they, God, it seems like they would have done that by now.
You figured this would have been in the cage.
Yeah.
It could have been in the cage.
But they didn't do the cage.
Well, it's not in the cage because we're about to have a whole pay-per-view about a fucking cage.
So don't do anything that might, you know, help accidentally promote the fact that you're going to have a Hell in a Cell.
Oh, well, they're supposed to be head-to-head. They want blood. Remember?
Uh-huh.
I like
head-to-head, fighting against, fighting for ratings, fighting for revenue, promoting each other's pay-per-views. What?
I like it. It's like, they should have something where Raw actually just buys the advertising time to promote their pay-per-view. Like they did tonight. Just like, do an advertisement. This following announcement has been paid for by Monday Night Raw.
Same guy who did the NWO.
Same guy who did the NWO announcement. But it's like, that's how that would fit, because they're supposed to be head-to-head. Mick Foley comes out on TV every week. We're fighting for rating supremacy. I am struggling with the ratings. I need to keep you guys as a team for rating. I don't know, whatever. If he's so worried about the ratings, like, you know, they should play up on it. Buy advertisement on the other brand show. It would tie into that. But yeah, overall, this was a really good match. And I don't want to see it again for a while.
There's no rhyme
so
or reason.
At the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason. Really.
There really isn't, other than they have content to do every single week.
And very little extra to be able to fill it with.
Right. I thought, okay, here, before we move on to the next one, I thought, here's a scenario for him to lose, Ziggler to lose. You have Ziggler lose. You have Miz poke at him. You make, take him off TV for a month, and then have Daniel Bryan and Shane hire him as a commentator. And then for, like, months, you have him poke at him, that he's, you know, I'm the Miz, I'm awesome, I'm champion, yada, yada, yada. And then Ziggler finally reaches his boiling point, and then you do them again at WrestleMania. That'd be cool. Ziggler can get his job back as a wrestler.
So, the Randy Savage approach.
Yeah. It would've worked. I mean, he wants to try to be every other legend.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, hey, look, we know you've been trying to be like Shawn Michaels for the last, you know, couple years of your career. We're going to make it into Savage.
But it's been, what, almost, God, 20-something years since that happened? 25?
Something like that, yeah.
24, 25, something like that. It would have worked.
Dolph comes out hawking Jackling's beef jerky.
Dig it! Oh, wait, no, wrong one.
Well, he's already hawking the chicken, so...
Yeah, with the guy he hates so much.
With the guy he hates so much, yeah. So I have a question for you, Mike. Did you enjoy National Taco Day last week?
You're cruel. You are mean and cruel. Rage. Rage. Rage, Mike. Rage.
Not even gonna rage.
But it was a thing last week. It was National Taco Day.
I mean, I understand that. Let's see. That was it.
Mike and tacos just do not like to coexist with each other.
No, local tacos. Certain local tacos don't mix.
Anyway.
It's like when you go to the taco trucks and it's like, oh my god, it looks so good. Wait, that's not supposed to look like that color. That's not cilantro. Anyway.
Cilantro is supposed to be green. What was this, brown?
No, I already have too much information.
Anyway.
Anyway, moving. What do you think of the match, Mike? Since you were busy with tacos,
it was, and as bad. And it was funny when you mentioned he wanted to be like Shawn. That he was pulling that Shawn Michaels. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Shawn Michaels put his career on the line at a No Mercy pay-per-view one time.
Was that the Jericho thing?
No,
that's a Mike, that's a pretty esoteric reference.
There you go. So.
Was that Jericho, no, Shawn?
It was JBL versus Shawn Michaels, pretty much. It was when Shawn Michaels was quote-unquote owned by JBL. And it was pretty much a match of, if I beat you, no more Shawn Michaels. If you beat me, I pay all your debts. You're a free man.
That was
after the Jericho match at No Mercy.
No, so this was No Way Out Rumble.
Was it? Yeah, it was No Way Out.
Yeah, it was No Way Out.
Well, he was pretty much in that type of scenario, so we could say it like that. But Dolph Ziggler, he WWE, why have you failed us? This was an amazing match. You know what Dolph can do. Just give him a shot, just because he got kicked in the head, and just because you guys were scared that he was going to lose his career because of his concussion, blah, 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 blah. Stop. Okay? You guys seen what Dolph can do. Go on.
You listen to the crowd. Understand. Dolph's been in a storyline that required him to lose. A lot. Before this, Ziggler was already losing. A lot. Like, winning has just not been an option for Dolph Ziggler for a long time. And yet, the crowd was really, really behind him in this match.
That should tell you something, WWE.
Alright, let me ask you this, Mike. Because I asked them, now going forward, who should Ziggler feud with for the Intercontinental title?
That I don't know. Because you know how WWE is. The Miz is going to be like, oh, I deserve my rematch because at this time, you know, I was screwed. I was screwed out. I deserve a rematch. Blah, 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 blah. You make this right, Daniel Bryan. You make this right. Something along those lines.
Okay, after that, after he gets his rematch, who does he fight with? That's
the question. Is there anybody that... I mean... The people that are active now, they're kind of either in the top title or Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton.
And there's your problem.
That's the problem.
Because at least with The Miz, you could probably find baby faces. There's a lack of, you know, heels right now.
One thing I can say about The Miz, he can turn anybody into a babyface for him just to be heel. He's basically that go-to guy to make somebody a face. Hey, we need your help. You know, he's starting to suck, so help him out, Miz. Okay, cool. And there you have it. And Tim, you know how it is. When you're trying to have somebody be over... When it you gotta find the guy that'll push him on the edge. And Miz is that person that will push somebody to on the edge. After, like you guys said, Miz is the MVP of SmackDown. Pretty much, he's finally gotten to be the heel 365. Hashtag heel 365. He's being that person as of now.
Look, everybody tweeted.
The guy he's pulling the John Morrison Hollywood thing, you know, because they couldn't afford, you know. But they took his Hollywood gimmick to a higher level. And I think that right now, Miz is the top heel of SmackDown.
No, AJ is the top heel.
Well,
yeah, he is.
He is.
Miz is the strongest.
Stop grumbling.
But you guys know that I'm right. Come on now.
No, you're not.
No.
So you guys mean to tell me you guys did not cheer when AJ Styles beat John Cena?
No. Because he's a heel.
Omega's very silent.
Omega's playing Minecraft. Shut up. I appreciate AJ's performance because I am a douchebag style of pro wrestling fan who can actually watch it as, you know, one of those know-it-alls on the internet.
don't take this the wrong way and don't get mad at me for saying it, but you take a Canadian approach to professional wrestling. You cheer for whoever the hell you want and screw your ideas of who the heel and who the baby face are.
I cheer for the guys who do what the, who perform their role really, really well. Mm-hmm. I cheer for Ambrose because he's a nutball face with, you know, with a attitude edge to him. That's fine. I like that. I cheer for AJ because he's being an asshole heel who still performs really well. I really like that.
Which is basically the point I was making when I said what I said. It was a compliment, believe it or not.
He doesn't want to be referred to as anything Canadian.
Well, I can understand. You know, nobody's perfect.
But no, AJ Styles is the number one heel.
Yeah, that's true, Mike. It's AJ, not The Miz. But I understand what you're trying to, the point you're trying to make. The Miz is like up there on a totally different level than the average heel on SmackDown or Raw for that matter. He's in that stratosphere with AJ.
But he's
I think Mike can call him the top heel because at least as heels go, he has the most momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Like AJ's been there for a while and we expect that of AJ. Miz has been in the same kind of middle road mediocrity that Ziggler has been in for so long that to see him fired up and actually reignite himself as a character is really refreshing. So even though right now they are on the same tier, him and AJ, heel-wise, Miz has come farther to that role in the same amount of time.
Anyway, Tim, what's next?
Well, the next one, we got a little backstage thing, Randy Orton staring at himself in the mirror, and all of a sudden it goes funny, the mirror.
Someone learned After Effects.
Shut up.
The video version of Photoshop.
Did anyone else get flashbacks of Hogan looking at the Warrior in the mirror?
No, I thought Taker's spooky mind tricks.
I thought, wait, why can we see what's going on in his head?
Okay, not too. But I didn't think Warrior Hogan. It wasn't the thing that went into my mind.
But after the mirror reset itself, then we get Alexa Bliss taking on... Wait, no, Becky Lynch is not fighting tonight because she's got an undisclosed injury that we made fun of earlier.
She broke her esoteric.
She broke her esoteric. I hear that's a painful thing.
Very obscure injury.
Ooh. Yeah.
Anyway, continue into the... Let's go.
Out comes Naomi! Here, I was expecting something shocking or surprising or something. Somebody coming from Raw or somebody coming up. Yeah, and I'm thinking for like 5 seconds before Naomi came out, wouldn't it be awesome if it was Asuka?
Wouldn't happen.
No. I know, but still, it was still would have been awesome.
You had 3 choices for this. Natty, but she's a heel, so it didn't work. You have Naomi. Or you can always brought back Eva Marie.
No.
Karma comes back, eats her.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm trying to think of a better idea.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess you'd call this a standard women's match. It wasn't anything spectacular or anything like that, but they gave the win to Naomi.
Which means Alexa gets the win back on SmackDown.
So.
It's their 50-50 booking.
Yeah, WWE logic. Okay, well, now to get the number one, now to join like in on the championship picture, you have to do it again.
But
and it's not like a best 2 out of 3 thing. This is like for all the marbles, you don't get to try again.
Yeah, this also could be if the thing with Becky isn't really major. We actually could have we have a contender if need be.
But Naomi?
Okay, I listed off the other people they could have brought in for the match.
I know. They didn't really have anything. Something tells me that this was not an advance notice type, Becky can't compete, let's do something on Sunday and figure it out. I just get the feeling like this was a this day panic mode.
Last night panic mode.
Close enough.
Kind of thing. That's when the story broke last night. Good job, Brent. Oh, by the way, Brent, where's our thing, man? Slagger. He's in something.
Oh, Brent's in the chat room now?
No, I don't think he's in the chat room. I'm just giving him crap because he hasn't sent the pick'em results yet.
Yeah, so we don't have the results. What happened to you, Brent? Where are you?
Slacker.
Unpaid interns. So unreliable.
Totally.
Anyway, here's hoping that the email comes before the show's over.
He doesn't have much longer.
this is true. Might have to wait and let everybody know on Facebook tomorrow.
If he gets it to me by then. Or tune in Thursday night and we'll read him off then.
There you go. Absolutely, yeah. Main event time.
Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. I figured you would have continued on with who was in the main event.
We were right at the main event.
We already had the main event. This was the semi-main event. Bray Wyatt versus...
semi-main event time. last match of the show time.
Last match.
This was good.
entertaining match. I was absolutely shocked and startled by the finish.
I will say this. WWE tried its damnedest to swerve the internet tonight.
Yeah.
Because look at how much they did to make you think Dolph was losing. Because, like, Dolph was tweeting out, like, his agent, like, where he will be taking bookings. There was a TV listing for the next episode of SmackDown where it said a look back at now that it's over, a look back at Ziggler's career.
Uh-huh.
Like, and then with this match, like, Luke Harper showing up on the Raw tour.
Well, I think that sort of had effect when Eric got hurt.
Yeah. I said that Rock, we were having this talk last night.
I know.
So I was like, we got one Wyatt injured, so let's just switch out the other. But he was on the Raw tour. Yeah, whatever. Plans change.
By the way, props to Luke Harper from flying all the way in for this one.
Yeah.
From South America. Well done.
Yeah, way to beat a company man.
Mm-hmm.
And get paid.
But I thought they had a good match. They were physical. You know, these were two main eventers who went out there, knew what they had to do in the main event, and I thought they delivered.
You know, the match was decent for what it is. Being a smartass when I said I was absolutely shocked and surprised by the ending, Bray Wyatt won on a pay-per-view.
He is now 16-9 on pay-per-views, and one of those losses was in the Money in the Bank match. That was a stat I dropped on the rack.
Now, there you go. Now, go back and look at those wins. How many were actually clean?
Three. How many were actually clean? I'll tell you.
Not a lot, I'm sure.
He's actually going to look it up now, Omega.
I have a notepad of it. So hold on. Let's see. He beat Kane clean-ish. He beat Kofi.
No, ish. If someone showed up to be spooky, that's an interference.
Clean,
tonight
period.
Was an interference.
That's it. No ish. If it's ish, then it's not clean.
Okay.
And it doesn't count.
Battleground beat Kofi Kingston. Clean. Wyatt's beat Brian and Punk. Clean. Wyatt beat Brian. Clean. Wyatt's beat The Shield. Clean.
Timeout. You're saying Wyatt's plural.
Okay.
Bray Wyatt.
Okay.
Individual.
Wyatt matches.
Singles
Wyatt
matches.
Okay.
Match.
Okay. There, okay.
Bray That'll change the number.
Bray beat Kofi. Bray beat Brian. Bray beat Jericho. Bray beat Dean Ambrose twice on pay-per-view. Bray beat Ryback. Bray beat Roman.
See, you're listing off victories. I guarantee you not all of those are clean.
No,
I guarantee you there were interferences because that's what happens every time Bray wins.
No, the Roman one there was interference. But the Ambrose's ones, no. They were clean.
Yeah, you still listed Roman, so strike that off the list.
I went back and changed that one on you, Tim. All right, got it. That's it. Because he hasn't had many singles matches since then in 2015 and 16. But he still wins on pay-per-view. Whoever's clicking needs to stop that.
Not clicking.
Click, 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 click.
Anyway.
Click. Anyway, yeah. The match was fun.
Wyatt family reunited. Could be good.
After separating.
After separating again.
Just can't keep the kids together.
They're injury prone. It's a thing. You can only have two of them around, I'd say, at one point.
They're like cats. They go and they roam around all the time. But they always know where home is, and they show up at least once a day.
Yeah, I thought this was good.
It was an entertaining pay-per-view overall. The only match that I didn't really care for was Swagger Corbin. But, you know, some people liked it, I'm sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, I could have done without that. I could have done without Alexa and Naomi, but that was a last-minute decision, so I can forgive.
And the best of all, it was done at 10:40.
Yeah, I was just about to say, does it feel weird nowadays where a WWE pay-per-view ends before 5:02 or even 5 after the top of the hour?
That's why SmackDown's 2 for 2 on good pay-per-views, because they end 2 hours and 40-something minutes. Perfect. Because you're not staying too long.
Yeah, it's not those marathon ones they were having lately, where it was like you know, 3.5 hours, just because they can.
Because last month, 2 weeks ago, at Clash of Champions, the main event started at 10:40. This show ended at 10:40. Makes for a better show. You're not trying to cram everything in there.
Well, you know, it's easier to make it an entertaining show when you've got a smaller roster and fewer storylines.
And again, when you're not trying to cram everyone on to the damn show.
Yep. So if you haven't seen No Mercy and you're wondering if you should watch the replay, I do believe we're unanimous in saying, yes, watch the replay if you missed it.
Yeah, there's some iffy matches in there, but overall, there's enough solid to watch it.
Opening match was good, middle was good, closing was good.
And that's what you want with the pay-per-view. You want your beginning, your middle, and your end to hold up.
So, since we don't have pick'em results, we'll do fantasy results. For the week, Team Intern. -2.
Tonight included?
Tonight included.
Good.
Nice, someone can get their results in on time.
I know. After losing the title, and I dropped a lot of points, I end up with 1 point for the week. Positive.
At least you're on the plus side there.
I was worried about you going in.
And then they threw that 8-man tag in there, I was like, sweet. Go American Alpha. Save my week. Team Tim had 7 for the week.
That's it? God damn it, I quit.
Team Mike had 14 for the week.
Cool.
Team Omega had 19 for the week.
Thank you, Ziggler. It might actually start paying dividends.
And Team Lindsay had 26. Like, the intern was up, had like 10 points, and then the Miz lost the belt, lost like 13 points.
No mercy happened.
That's, yeah.
So that's a thing.
Merciless.
Yeah, the full totals for all 6 weeks will be available tomorrow at Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter.
God, I was so scared.
You were so scared you were going to lose Dolph Ziggler from your team.
I was like halfway to begging for like an extra pick if Ziggler retired.
No joke, in the back of my head earlier I was thinking, okay, so if Omega loses Ziggler, do we all now get an extra pick so Omega can get another person? Just to help out. If you get someone, we all should get someone.
No, because I'm down so many people.
Well, then you don't, you know, you would have never got another person then. It was your loss. He's just injured.
And I would have retired. There's no point in competing after that. Like I picked Ziggler because I kind of had that feeling in my head. Going, they got to do something with him. So, like, I feel like they're doing something with him.
That heel
and,
turn.
Like, I'm scared to death of his retirement. Like, oh, I don't want my hunch to be right.
That heel turn.
But it was right.
Yeah, it was right. So, anyway, I think that does it for fantasy. I say it's the all-time greatest.
Yeah!
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in a real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
This week in the all-time greatest, to close off round number one, the Aces and Eights take on the Authority. Omega.
So we have the McMahon-Helmsley regime 2.0 versus the NWO 2.0.
Kinda.
God, see, there's big upsides here because the Authority was so controlling and they were so dominant for so long. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not just the Rollins era where they started to drag on. It was everything that came before, right? You know, right from the point where Triple H pedigrees Daniel Bryan and puts Randy Orton in the championship spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a long time, and I think you know there was a lot of good there. It just overstayed its welcome. You know, it just kind of had to slowly peter out,
mm-hmm.
rather. rather than come to any conclusion where, God forbid, someone gets their comeuppance for being such dicks for so long. Aces and Eights, same way, it starts strong. Mm-hmm. Like, the anonymous, like, when the members of it were anonymous and everyone was trying to figure out who was actually there, and you had this, like, sense of distrust in the roster where no one was quite sure who was in this group, you actually had something interesting. You know, because that's the thing about heel factions in wrestling, is you want to put these names together so the names together sound like a threat, so they sound like a powerful group. A group that was brought together with no names was actually a little bit different, and it was actually a good idea. It made them threatening, and it made everyone uncertain. But the conclusion of Aces and Eights, and once members started getting revealed, and once it turned out Bubba Ray was the leader, it kind of petered out, and it just turned into, it's just an NWO knockoff. They didn't even bother changing the colors. So either way, it's starting strong and then just faltering halfway through its total execution. And I can't believe I'm actually picking this, but I will pick Aces and Eights based purely on starting with something original, even if it did get derivative.
Mike?
It's kind of a hard thing, because Aces and Eights did a lot of things going on. It was pretty much their way or the highway, and the Authority was basically, like, same thing. But just like Omega said, it's Helmsley McMahon regime 2.0. And then, I hate to say it, but Aces and Eights was like TNA's Bully Club. Well, duh. They tried to. But honestly, the storyline behind Aces and Eights, it was pretty more intense, because you had more than just one main guy. You had a collective bunch of guys. Authority, it was one by one, and it took a long time. So honestly, I'm going to have to go with Aces and Eights.
Tim?
I brought it up a few weeks ago. The Authority was McMahon-Hemsley 2.0. Omega reiterated it. Aces and Eights came about right about when I decided that I wasn't a big fan of TNA and started watching less and less. That said, I did catch a few, a little bit of Aces and Eights here and there.
It's okay, Tim. You can pick the Authority.
I don't want to pick the Authority because, again, I just have a whole complete problem with the Authority storyline. It went too long. It just got too,
all right, to give an argument.
Stuck in a rut. So yeah, you know what? Just based on that, I'm going with Aces and Eights.
Just to give the argument for the Authority, it gave us Seth Rollins as the top heel. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Say that again?
It gave us Seth Rollins as a top heel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Authority had. Just to give an argument.
I know, but this is not the all-time greatest top heels.
I'm just pointing out a positive for the Authority. That's all.
We don't have a top heel one because we're just going to pick Ric Flair.
So anyway. So the That'll Aces,
be the shortest all-time greatest ever.
The Aces and Eights move on. The fans had the Authority with 67%. Just wanted to throw that out there. Up next. Up next, the New World Order takes on Evolution.
It should have been McMahon-Helmsley.
Yes.
We should be having the exact same discussion right now.
Mike, go first. You know, it's Evolution and the NWO.
I understand that, but the thing of it was the one thing that Evolution did that the NWO, if I can remember, Evolution had all the gold. I'm trying to recap if the NWO had all the gold at the same damn time.
The only belt they probably didn't own was the Cruiserweight title. Even then, Six may have had it.
But yeah, because I know Hall Nash held the tag belts while Hogan was the champion.
Okay. When they were NWO?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, back then that was WCW, so you also had a US and a television title to figure out where they went.
Yeah, Monday Night Raw, that 2004, World Heavyweight Champion, Triple H, Tag Team Titles, Ric Flair and Batista, Intercontinental Champion, Randy Orton, and vacant Mark Jindrak. we're not going to go there. There you go. Unemployed title. It was just for them, there were a bunch of suit wearing guys, but at the end of the day, they'll take the suit off and be like, yeah, we're kicking your ass. This was the American mob, in other words. And then you got a couple of misfits. Shit ton of legends that made it in the business. That was like, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna have some fun. Both stables made history, but the stable that I'm choosing is Evolution.
Omega.
McMahon, Helms, and Regine.
There is actually nothing about this choice that is easy. Here's the thing: NWO has its flaws. Like, When the show became just about the NWO and WCW was more a footnote in its own brand, when the NWO, you know, splits into two, and then there's a copycat for the LWO, and then they reunite where NWO, you know, like Hollywood 2.0 or like Silver and Black, and we're the elite and you're like white and black and you're just kind of there. And like at one time, every heel on the roster is NWO except for Jericho. It got overplayed. Yes, but it's hard to deny its place in history and what it did for wrestling. You know, that means we don't have Aces and Eights. We don't have the Bullet Club, you know, cause all of them took their model from the New World Order in the first place. That said, Evolution is probably as perfectly balanced as a concept as you would ever see in a wrestling stable. Because you do have, like, a top name at the time. You have your main eventer in Triple H. You have your, you know, your legacy, you know, figure in Ric Flair. And two up-and-comers. You have this lean, young, Randy Orton born into the business, and the prototypical powerhouse in Batista. Like, balance-wise, and they didn't overplay it. They didn't add anything to it. That's just who it was, and it was as balanced as you could get as a concept to represent three generations of, you know, professional wrestling styles and looks was great. And the group did not overstay its welcome. It was what it was for as long as it needed to be around, and then it was just done. And that's perfectly fine. But, you know, so it's overall execution versus place in history. And if we're talking wrestling as a whole for factions, I can't deny what the NWO did regardless of the way it went out. That's what really created the Monday Night War. Mm-hmm. That's what gave us a heel Hogan. That's what made us look at Hall and Nash in different ways. That's what gave us a lot of what we have in wrestling today. Right down to the Sting, who's still dressing like he's facing the NWO. Like that was the genesis of a lot in professional wrestling, and it's I can't deny that.
Tim.
I'm picking the NWO just because of what it was, what it became, what it did both good and bad for WCW and wrestling as a whole. It became the many-headed monster of myth that wound up feeding on itself.
That's all you got?
It was WCW's Frankenstein. It was huge in more ways than one, and not always in a good way. Ultimately, at the end, tail end, in a bad way. But, you know, when Vince went and bought WCW, he actually brought the NWO over. It was failed because of Kevin Nash's quads. But,
and Scott Hall's
among
drinking.
Other things.
Scott Hall's drinking.
Yeah, that too.
All Hogan's ego.
But still, it was one of the only crossovers that that Vince bothered with from WCW when he bought it. That in itself makes it pretty damn big. NWO.
67% of people went with the NWO. That concludes the first round. Next week,
ba-ba-da-da.
Next week it's the Radicals taking on the Flock, and DX versus the Heenan family.
Ooh, cool.
It's next week in the all-time greatest. And I just checked my email, the intern's still slacking.
Yeah, I haven't got mine either, so. Oh wait, there's something in the spam folder.
Let's
Your
do it.
Your best relent.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
I'm sorry, Tim, I cut you off on your spam.
That was about as long as I read spam.
All right, we're doing Name That Tune again, this time WCW version. Tim, you're up first.
I hate you. Bret Hart.
There you go, you're right. Well done. Well done.
She didn't get it that fast.
Well done on that one. Here you go, Mike, you're up.
This is why I don't watch WCW. It's definitely not Ernest the Cat Miller. I don't know. I got nothing.
That'd be G.I. Bro.
The fuck?
Alright, Omega, you're up. Oh my god, I thought this was really easy for you.
Is it? It's just a bunch of laughing.
Yeah. Creepy laughing. The Hart family had a...
You know...
Loose cannon.
It's not fair if you give me that... Well, you give everyone hints, but yeah, it's Dungeon of Doom.
There you go. Why are you saying loose cannon, Tim?
Did I say something? I
thought you were screaming loose cannon.
I wasn't screaming.
Not screaming, whispering. Anyway. Tim, you're up next. Not so quick this one, are you, Tim?
Making up for it with my quick one on the first one. I've got no clue.
He's Canadian.
That wouldn't be Lance Storm.
No. This one had more personality.
Oh, somebody with personality.
That narrows it down.
What?
A Canadian with personality. There's only one.
It's everybody but Lance Storm. Is that one of Jericho's entrance things?
That'd be Lionheart Chris Jericho.
There you go.
Since Mike's not WCW, here's the WWE theme for Mike.
Gail Kim.
Well done. And now for Omega.
I'm trying to remember. God. Didn't know they made dubstep back then. I don't. Oh, God.
You know it, too. I know you do.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. He did a really awkward dance in his entrance.
Oh, that really narrows it down.
Can you tell him the nationality of the guy?
German.
There you go. That may have given it away. He's got the face. He's picturing it, but he can't remember the name.
No, it'd be Das Wonder Kid.
Das Wonder Kid.
Wonder Kind.
And here,
that's right.
And here was the other one that Mike was going to get. See if I guess now.
Really? I'm a dragon.
You know, you said you don't watch WCW, but you knew that one. You knew that one?
Yeah, I knew that one.
Okay, there you go. Still no email. We're done now. He had 2 hours and he couldn't even get...
Yeah, you're just going to have to bloody wait to find out how you did for Pick'em, everybody.
Thanks, intern. God. Anyway, Tim... Stuff.
Yeah, that said, that brings to an end this episode. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's immediately following Raw.
Or, aka the Raw Post, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw.
Thursday night, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack with Lindsay Ward.
Go back and listen to our interview with the Bella Twins, available at Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. You can also go back and listen to our interview with Gail Kim from 2 weeks ago as well. You can check out the Rack Extra Total Bella Season 1, Episode 1, which is now available. Episode 2 will be available on Thursday afternoon. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it is the Rack. We'll recap No Mercy, talk NXT and SmackDown, and all the news you can possibly handle. It's Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rack Radio Show. Because when WWE 2K17 comes out, we're going to have a lot of stuff on there. So don't you worry. Plus, you can go back and look at all the sims we've done for 2K16. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, youtube.com/Rack Radio Show, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, search Rack Radio Show.
Saturday nights, it's another episode of The Wild, The Wacky, The Unusual, the radio show that interviews zombies. CB Radio. What am I talking about?
That's legit. Go back and listen to the weirdest episode we've ever done last night on CB Radio, which also started the CB Radio party election. As you heard in the commercial, the election stuff continues this Saturday night, midnight-ish, as they will be delivering their own version of political ads.
Yeah, but the guy was freaking dead for 3 years.
Four
years.
Weird. So you can listen to all that plus the election stuff at CB Radio Saturday Nights Midnight. And CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies or when someone becomes undead. Hashtag unblame Rob.
Forgive Rob.
Hashtag forgive Rob. Next Sunday night. Back at its regular time slot, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, another edition of WTR Sunday night. Join us. Follow Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio. Check out the Facebook, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join one like the other. Did I tell everybody to follow me on the Twitter machine? No, but I'm about to. Follow me on Twitter. At Flames Forums. If you're into hockey, get ready, because a seasonal webcast is going to be making its debut in the next couple of weeks right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Fire on Ice. Everything NHL, specifically the Calgary Flames.
Facebook.com/WTR Sunday night. Twitter.com/WTR Sunday night.
Yeah, them too. Omega?
Well, as usual, everything I do can be found under the name TJ Omega, unless you're the Facebook type, at which time you need to go to TJ Reviews. However, for everything else, I am TJ Omega on Twitter. I am TJ Omega on YouTube, where there is content just about every single weekday. And for everything else I have ever done in the history of ever, there is TJOmega.org, which I really need to get back to work on.
Yes, you do.
If I can remember what the password is.
We'll work on it. Mike?
jeez. Anybody wants to, you know, say hello or be like, yeah, hit me up on Twitter, DWTROREO. Be sure to check in this week because I'm actually going to do some reviews about WWE 2K17. So I'm just going to take a look into it and see what we're going to be what I'm going to be discussing. So yeah.
That said, we're done. Everybody have yourselves a great week. Happy Canadian Thanksgiving, Canadians. Catch you next Sunday night.
WildTalkRadio.com.